Amen. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. You know, we live in a day of uncertainty. Uncertainty. I looked up that word, certainty. Here's what the dictionary says. A perfect knowledge that has total security from error or doubt. A perfect knowledge that has total security from error or doubt. In other words, you have no doubt in your mind that what you believe is absolutely right. Absolutely right. Very few things in life are that way. And today I want to talk to you about our uncertain times. Things are not certain right now. There's uncertain times. We're having some times that are uncertain. I want you to look at Malachi 3, verse 6. For I am the Lord, I change not. That's the only one can ever say that. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God, yet ye rob me? But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and in offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Boy, we just stop right there and put the United States right there, couldn't we? Amen. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. You'll underline every bit of that. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God, and what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they said, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern the righteous between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Now I'm going to ask you, if you will, you men that will, as we've kind of started tradition, if you'll come pray for the services and for me and this rebuked old devil. Men, will you come around the altar and pray right now? You don't have to, but if you want to and you can get a prayer through, you come on, okay? And come on and pray for me. I need it. I need it. And you need it. Amen. Pray for our families. Amen. 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 Come on down. Amen. 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 In Malachi, God said, I'm going to send a messenger and he's going to prepare a way. And he said, Judah and Jerusalem have been pleasant to the Lord, and they will be pleasant again. And he said, for I'm the Lord, I change not. He said, I made you a promise, I'm going to keep it. And God doesn't lie. And Titus 1:2 says, God, it cannot lie. He's made in a way that he can't lie. Like I'm made, Clinton, I can't pick up that pew with you and Rick on it. I'm just made in that way. It's impossible. I can't do that. And God's made in such a way that he cannot tell a lie. Physically, It is impossible for God to tell a lie. He said, now I'm the Lord. I promise to bless you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to keep my word. He said, it's you that have left your word, not me that left mine. And boy, is that not the case in Christians' lives, in the church, in our nation. And he said, I change not. And they said, well, Lord, how can we come back? He said, well, you owe me some things. There's some things you owe me. And you need to get some things settled with me. And you need to get some things right with me. And if you'll do it, I will open the windows of heaven and I will bless you again. Now, let me tell you something. Even though the days that we're in are uncertain days, I am certain there is a God in heaven who changes not and He still keeps His word. Amen? It doesn't matter who's going to be living in the White House. What's going on down at the church house? What's going on down at our house? Amen? That's what God's looking at. God's not interested. Now, He's interested in the family in that White House, but He's not so much interested in our government. God's more interested in believers and what they're doing. And our nation, as you can see, as well as I do, has gotten a long way from God. Our churches have gotten a long way from God. Our families have gotten, as individuals, sometimes we have gotten. But I want you to know there's something that I'm certain about, and that's number one, a perfect knowledge that has total security from error or doubt that God is not dead, He's still alive, and He still honors His word, and He honors those that honor His word. You ought to come to Sunday school, man. I'm telling you, this morning we talked about Joseph. God, hey, it's, would y'all just listen to me a minute? I'm certain it's not. Listen. It's not up to an organization. It's not up to a denomination. It's not up to a movement or a political organization. It is up to God's people what happens to God's people. Because God, I'm certain God's going to keep His word. He's never failed before. He's never let one down. There's never even been a sinner that came to Him that He turned him down. Let me tell you something. God honors His word. I'm certain of that. So, I got thinking about that. Well, I know what's certain. I know the Bible. I'm certain about the Bible. I'm certain about the new birth. I'm certain about the church. I'm certain about the Savior. I'm certain about the sanctification of believers. I'm certain about His second coming. I'm certain about a lot of things. But there are some things that maybe are uncertain. And I want to show you a few and we'll go home. Number one, Psalm 39:11, if you want to turn over there real quick, and I'm going to move fast, so just mark them if you have to. Psalm 39:11. This ain't come Sunday school if you want me to wait on you. This is preaching, okay? Psalm 39:11. Look at it, if you will. In verse 11, he says this, whom thou with rebukes does not correct man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity, Selah. You know what he's saying? The Lord corrects people for their iniquity. So don't count on your physical beauty. It will fade. A lot of people's getting by on their looks. Come on. They're getting by on their looks. Let's just be honest. There's some pretty people. I just don't have to be that one of them, but there are some pretty people. Amen. And right now, they're getting by on their looks. There's some pretty Christians. They don't live right, but boy, they sure look good, don't they? There's some pretty people. There's some pretty... beauty is, to man, is probably one of the first things you'll notice about somebody. Sometimes people will be hunting a job or something, you know, and I tell them, I say, now, don't go in there like you're going to a football game and expect them to hire you. They're not going to do that. I said, brush your teeth, get some mouthwash, wash your head, take a bath, put on some deodorant, and a little extra might not help in some cases, might not hurt in some cases. Now shine your shoes and go in there with a smile on your face and be pretty, and 9 times out of 10, you'll get that job. 9 times out of 10. Because people do judge you by how you look first thing. First thing they go by is how you look. So you, hey, you sloppy Christians and lazy Christians, you say whatever you want to, but we're being judged by the way we look. But I'm going to tell you, you're not always going to have looks. You know what that's for? Chest of drawers disease. My chest done fell down my drawers. And it's hard to keep your britches up when you're shaped like a funnel. Belt don't do any good. I tighten that thing so hard I can't breathe. And they still just slide down under that little belly, you know. Looks fade. As you get older, you can't count on those looks. Amen? And what was that woman comedian's name? She was kind of dirty, but I can't remember her name. She was one of them. But there was another one. She kept getting facelifts and surgery. Joan Rivers. Woman bragged about being 90 years old and had about 30 plastic surgeries. And she looked like, and her eyes, you know, she couldn't hardly talk. Her lips were so tight. And she was trying to hang on to something that was fading, you know. Beauty is uncertain. You just go ahead and think that God's going to let you into heaven because you're good looking. I'm sorry, you're mistaken. Because hopefully you're going to live long enough, you may not be that good looking anymore. Amen. Amen. You girls looking for a good looking boyfriend, a good looking husband. I'm a grown man. I'm 62 years old. I'm going to tell you how a man does. Here's the life of a man. He is born naked, wrinkled, toothless, and bald. He grows a little hair, grows a few teeth, and by the time he dies, he is naked, bald, and toothless again. I don't care how. He's a little pudgy thing when he comes in, and he's a big pudgy thing when he goes out. Beauty fades. Amen? Amen. Amen. I'm not certain of beauty. I'm not certain of that. I'm not going to count on that. Amen? Are you? No, you're not. That's why Avon and Max Factor and all them others make so much money. You ain't counting on it either. And now they sell men makeup. Eyeliner, lipstick. Don't talk so bad about it. There's some men I wish would buy some. Amen? Man wigs and man makeup. Some of them need it. Amen. A fellow came to me one day at church. He was growing a beard. He said, "Preacher, you think there's something sinful about a beard?" I said, "No, sir. Cover up all the ugly you can." Beauty fades. Beauty fades. Amen? Amen. All right, so I'm not certain of my beauty. And you shouldn't be either. Proverbs 23:5. Turn over there. Proverbs 23:5. Hurry up, you're not listening fast enough. Proverbs 23:5 says this. In the last part of that verse, it says, "For riches certainly make themselves wings, and fly away as an eagle toward heaven." Now, riches and wealth are going to fly away. It's here today and gone tomorrow. And if you got some money in the bank, hey, I know some people you can give it to and they can have it spent before sundown. My father-in-law said, he's a smart man. He said, "You can take all the money in the world from the rich and spread it out amongst all the people in the world," like Hillary wants. I can't believe I said that. "And spread it out all you want to everybody and give them all an even amount. And within a year or two, the rich people will have the money back that they had, and the poor people will be poor again." Because the rich ones don't spend money, that's how they keep it. And the poor ones don't have any, that's because they spend it, see. But you can't count on riches. I'll tell you what, back when we had the big crash and all, you know, we have these 401ks and stuff. Well, we're getting old and want to have a little money in the bank. And they sent me that readout for mine, you know. And that thing, there was a air on it, you know. And it went up, up, up until that day. And it went doop, 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 doop. And it had a little jump right at the end. Riches will fly away. You cannot count on money. You can't do it. And you say, "Well, these people, they die rich." Well, money, hey, look, money didn't make them happy. Money didn't help their family, really, to sustain their family if they didn't already love them. Money is uncertain. Here's what a lot of them's doing, Billy. I'm sure I'm not talking to one of them. That's why I'm talking to you. Well, maybe I better talk to him. I get behind them down there at the convenience store trying to get some gas. And they up there, ain't got no money. And they up there, they'll hand out 20 and they'll get a bunch of cards and scratch and sniff and scratch and sniff and throw them in trash. Then they'll get another 20 and scratch and sniff and scratch, throw them in trash. And what I want to say, but I'm sure they get mad, one of them might hit me. I want to say, next time you decide to throw $40 or $50 or $60 in trash, would you please just turn around and give it to me? I can put it to a better use. Well, preacher, I'm going to win the lottery. No, you're not. Your chances of winning the lottery is about as much as you being a star in a Hollywood movie. Hey, amen. You're not going to do it. And look, you're just throwing money in a, the Bible says, in a bag with a hole in it. Fuck, can't me one day. I'm working 60 hours a week. I just can't seem to make it. I can't tithe. I can't give money to the church. I said, you can if you'd start with your beginnings instead of your endings. I said, you're just waiting until everything's run out before you decide whatever's left over, you're going to give it to the Lord. When you're supposed to give them your first fruits, not your last. Well, if I do that, I can't have that new motorcycle and that new boat and go on vacation and do this. That's choices you make. Amen? Your money's uncertain. If you're living for money, you're living an uncertain life. Number three, are you still with me? You ain't mad at me, are you? Proverbs 27, look at verse 1. By the way, you ought to raise your kids on Proverbs. Proverbs 27, verse 1. Boast not, don't brag on it, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Tomorrow is uncertain. You know all you got's right now? You don't even have tonight. You got right now. That's all you've got. This may be your last right now. You don't know. You don't know. Well, preacher, I'm young. Young people die every day. I preach funerals for young people. Hey, I preached a funeral one time for a baby that was born and died. Let me tell you something. Tomorrow is uncertain. You remember that rich man that Jesus talked about? He had so much and so many crops and everything was prosperous. And instead of praising the Lord and thanking the Lord and giving him some, he says, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down those little barns and build me some big barns. Because I'm doing good. And Jesus said, that man's a fool. He said, because tomorrow thy soul will be required of thee. It's uncertain. You don't know when you're going to die. Well, I'm healthy. Did you ride in a car? Have you ever thought about that? There's only about 12 inches between us and death on every highway, that little white line in the middle of the road. You ever thought about that? And people texting now, they cross that line. I see them all the time. They texting. People do all kinds of things driving. I was going down the road one day. And this woman started coming across the line, and as she passed by me, I looked at her, and she had that thing, that mirror down. She was putting on makeup, and she was smoking a cigarette, and she was talking on the telephone, and she was driving with her leg. I got so scared, I dropped my electric razor in my coffee. You'll never know. I read where 1 out of 10 drivers every day has used alcohol. Every day. And on the weekend, it's more than that. You don't ever know. It's uncertain. You don't know how long you're going to live. Well, preacher, I'm young or I'm old. My mama's 97. It's the grace of God. My mama is 97. And I can give you 3 definite times that the doctors wanted to let her die. And I prayed and begged God and took them out of her hand. And she lived 3 times. Now you go ahead and trust doctors and medicine and whatever. That white line in the middle of the road. You trust whatever you want to. But I've got news for you. It is uncertain how long we're going to live. Amen. A generation in the Bible, 70 years. And the Bible says if you make it that long, after that, it's just pure labor. Hard. Hey, read the paper. Read it. People dying every day. I went to the funeral home to preach a funeral one day up here at Green's funeral home. That fellow I was working with, you know, one of those funeral home directors, the family had me come in with them. And after they all left out, I said, brother, let me ask you a question. He said, what? I said, can I rent a casket? This back before they did all those cremations. He said, no, you can't rent no casket. I said, well, I won't need it long. I'm going to die, I admit that. But Jesus is coming, trumpet's going to sound. He's taking me out of it. Somebody else can use it. Ain't no need for me to keep it. He looked at him and said, shut up, preacher. But we're going to die. You say, preacher, you make light of it. No, I just have no fear of it because I am certain that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I have no fear of death. I have fear of pain. I hate pain, you know. I have fear of sickness. I hate being sick. But I do not fear death. Tomorrow is uncertain. You know what that tells me? You better love people right now. You better love people right now. You don't know how many funerals I have preached. And usually the one that cries the hardest, screams the loudest, tries to jump in the casket and drag them out and hug them one more time, that's the one that was certain that loved one was going to live a long time. They'd have more opportunities to love them, hug them, and kiss them. And they didn't do it when they had the opportunity. And grief and guilt has overridden everything they could think of. I actually seen them at the graveyard open the casket at the cemetery because somebody wanted to see them one more time. And boy, it was on then. That woman jumped in the casket with her mom and tried to pull her out. I just got in my car and drove off. You know why? Because that woman that was doing that, she was certain her mama was going to live forever. And she didn't love her when she should have. And she didn't appreciate her when she should have. And now she's trying to get it in and it's too late. Life is uncertain. You better love them now. You better love your family now. You parents better love your kids. You better pay attention to them right now. Amen. Don't you set them in front of that. I'm on metal. You set them in front of that stinking television watching all those sorry cartoons ain't fit for consumption. And then you put an iPad in their hand. You let them sit over and play video games. And then you put a phone in their hand, let them stay on it all the time. Then you send them to school, and those people have to take them off all that, and they go into withdrawal. They don't know what to do, so they get in trouble at school. Because you didn't love them when you should have loved them and paid attention to them instead of giving them all that stuff to get them out of your hair. Say amen right there. I hear a lot of grandparents. You better love your friends while you got them. You better love them while you've got them. Hey, something may come between you and them one day and they won't be your friend anymore. You better love them while you can. They may pass on before you do. You better love them. My mama has outlived everybody she ever knew. She's outlived all her family but me and a brother. She's outlived everybody. You better love your friends while you've got them. And that brings up this. You better love your church while you got it. There ain't nothing certain about what will happen here next week. There's nothing certain in this life. It's only the next life. You never know. And then, I'll never forget, I called Tommy and Rudy one day, and I said, I want to sit down and talk about, I want to teach y'all how to call a pastor. And we come in here, and I talked for a few minutes, and Brother Tommy looked at me and said, Brother Ron, you're not planning on, Brother Ron, you're not leaving, are you? I said, no, I just want you to know what to do if I die. I said, I plan on trying to call a young man in here maybe and train him so when I'm gone, or I might have a stroke tomorrow and never be able to speak again. You don't know. We used to have the best piano player in the county, and then he became the best in the state. Now he's best in the country. His fingers might freeze up tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen. Life's uncertain. Your church, man, you better love it while you got it. People will put stuff on Facebook, or I'll go see them, or somebody else. Oh, I just love my church. But they don't love it enough to come. They don't love it enough to participate. They don't love it enough to give. They show up on Christmas. They show up on Easter. They show up at dinner on the grounds. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I love my church. Yeah. Yeah. And then they eat till they get sick. And we don't see them for another year. You better love it while you got it. It is uncertain times. But it may be that that wrong crowd does win elections and they may outlaw our church one day because they're already saying what we believe is hate speech. And in other countries they've done it. I may end up in jail. And y'all might not be able to find anybody that's dumb enough to say what the Bible says. I'm just kidding about dumb enough. You better love it. I'm telling you, you better love it. Listen, tonight we'll have church, and some of you will have a bad testimony because you'll sit at home or go to Walmart, and you got lost loved ones, and you've got lost neighbors, and when they talk to you, you just say, oh, how I love my church. And they look at you and say, well, you know, they're having church down there, and you ain't there. Or they say, well, if you love it so much, why are y'all meeting in a rented building? Wait a minute. What happened? You better love it. It's uncertain. It is our church is uncertain. If something happened to your pastor tomorrow, and I don't believe it will, but that's not one of my certainties. And y'all voted some crook in here. You can get a crook in here and won't even know it until after he gets in and takes over. He'll change the name of the church because he's ashamed of being a Baptist. He'll change the way you worship. He'll change your music. He'll start making slaves out of you and making you do things. And all I ask you to do is show up. Thank God Holroyd and Brian did come help me paint this week. Thank God. Amen. And one of these slave drivers might get in here and crack the whip. You don't know. You better love your church and your church family while you got it. Now, you can call this church anything you want to, but I'll tell you what you have to call it. I'm certain of this. You've got to call it a loving place and an accepting place and a Holy Spirit place. I'm certain of that. But you don't know what's going to happen with your family, your church, your friends. You never know. Tomorrow, he said, boast not thyself of tomorrow. What you going to do tomorrow, preacher? Well, I'm going to get up and go to work. If the Lord will. You never know. You never know. All right, I see. I'm losing some of you. Turn to John 16:32. John 16:32. Listen, I mentioned this, but I want to show you this on purpose. John 16:32. Behold, the hour cometh, and yea, is now come. Now, what time is it? Well, the hour now come. And ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. Now, I'm certain of this. I may not always be the friend to Jesus I ought to be, but he's always going to be the friend to me that he ought to be. I'm not certain of how good a Christian I may be next week, but I'm certain of how good a Savior he'll be next week.
Amen.
Come on, help me. He said, y'all going to leave me alone. Every one of them left him. They'd seen him raised to dead. They had seen him heal the sick. They had seen him cast out thousands of demons. They had seen him feed at least 15,000 people on one occasion with two little fishes and five loaves of bread. They'd seen him work miracles. They had heard him say things that others said, never a man spake like this man. With great authority he spoke. They heard that. And yet when it came right down to it, Brother Billy, they all forsook him. He said, but I got news for you. He said, you'll leave me alone, and yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. Now I know, listen, if you know Jesus, you know the Father. If you know the Father, you know Him, because He said, I and the Father are one. And I am certain He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. He'll never disappoint me. He'll never let me down. He'll never turn His back on me. He'll never tell me I'm not good enough. Hey, He'll always be there. If I just turn around and look for Him, I'll see Him. Now, there'd been times I wasn't there for Him when I should have been. Come on. Boy, we owe Him so much. We'll never be able to repay Him. And there's been times when I forgot how much I owed Him. But thank God He never forgot me. I'm certain of that. Brother Rick, you've had a rough life. I don't know much about you, but I know you've had a rough life. And we don't even want to talk about you. But I can tell you this, no matter how rough it gets, if you'll look for Him, you'll see Him. Some of you have been in and out of church all your life, up and down, in and out, right with God, backslid, back right with God. And boy, you keep coming back. You say, oh, boy, I hope He takes me back. He says, I've been standing right here waiting on you the whole time. I didn't go nowhere. You wouldn't left me. I didn't leave you. And I'm always here. If you'll just turn around, you'll find me. He said, if you look for me, you'll find me. I'm certain of that. Boy, I've been down in the dumps of my Christian life. Get off in the woods somewhere and be crying out to God and say, God, where is the God of Abraham? Where is the God of Jacob? Where is the God of Elijah? God, I need you. I need you, God. Help me here. And that still, small voice says, I'm right here. I never left you. You left me. I'm right here, son. And feel His power and His presence and His grace just come down. I'm certain of that. Some of you today might be out of the will of God. I've got news for you. He hasn't gone anywhere. He's waiting on you. He'll be there when you come back. You say, oh, I'm going on such trouble in this old world. Well, you seek Him. The trouble will flee from you. If you're not saved today, you know, He says, I'm a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Hey, you make a friend out of Jesus, you got a friend that'll be a friend till the dying day, and then He'll help you cross to the other side. Amen. And then last but least, did you know James 4:14 said, your life's like a vapor, it appears for a little while. Some of y'all ain't never seen the sun come up. You ought to try that. You ought to get up early enough to watch the sun come. Huh? No, staying up all night is probably sinful, whatever you're doing. But just get up early enough to see that sun come up. And if you'll watch it, you watch your yard, you'll see a little mist come up off your yard. And then that sun will come over that, and that mist will go, shoo. Gone. And He said, that's what your life is. Y'all don't make tea anymore, but every once in a while you ought to make some tea. Amen. Most people don't. They buy it in a jug now. You know. I don't know how you can buy tea in a jug. They brag on Bojangles tea. I've never found any tea that was good enough that you didn't make it home. My wife makes the best tea. And that tea, that steam will come up off that pot, but it don't go far. It's gone. And you know your life's like that? You teenagers, you think you're going to live forever. You're not. We used to be teenagers too, believe it or not. And by the way, you ain't that cool. My generation invented cool. Y'all still listen to our music. Bell bottoms come back. But let me tell you something. Teenager or senior saint, your life's just a little vapor. You need to visit the cemetery sometime. You see, you've sanitized your life from all death and all sickness. You don't get around it. You need to go down to the cemetery and walk through an old cemetery. Old one. Where they used to write things on them. Now they don't even write things on them. And by the way, don't go at night to them spooky cemeteries that's got those pictures that glow in the dark. That's just... That's just weird. First time I saw one of those, I was riding by a cemetery and I saw that light out there. I thought, my goodness, there's ghosts out there. It was a picture on a lit up. Y'all ever seen them? Oh my goodness, they have them. They glow in the dark. But you need to walk through a cemetery. Look at the headstone. Read the epitaphs of how these people lived and they died. And let me tell you something. Those same people were sitting where you're sitting today, and they didn't ever feel like they were going to die. They thought they were going to live, and every one of them died. And I'm going to tell you something else. The only reason the grass is cut on that cemetery plot is because somebody years ago paid for it. The people that planted some of them are not even around anymore. And their grandchildren are not even here anymore. You go in the cemetery where my brothers and sister and where they're buried at, where my mom will be buried at, there's some old graves in there. It's Lancaster City Cemetery. And I'm going to tell you something. There's people in there that nobody even knows who they are anymore. If it wasn't for those drawings and stuff that they keep at the county building. And they've got the names and everything, but nobody knows where any of their relatives are. 100 years, nobody knows who that person is anymore. Nobody's going to remember who you were in 100 years. Your life's like a vapor. It appears for a little while and it vanishes away. That's uncertain. Life is uncertain. But death is certain. It is appointed unto man once to die. Hebrews 9:27. And here's something else that's certain. Judgment after this. Judgment. Now, we have sanitized death. We have sanitized dying until the point that people can get all kind of drugs and all this stuff and they don't feel it anymore. So we really don't fear that death experience anymore. But I've got news for you. You're a fool if you don't fear that judgment. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. That's it. That's all it says. Makes a plain, certain statement. You're going to die. You're going to stand before a holy God. You will be judged by that holy God. Not trying to convince you. Not trying to prove it. Just says it. There it is. You're going to die. And you will be judged. Now, I'm certain of that. I don't have a doubt about that. And you can go down to the funeral home and look at them laying in that box and say they look so peaceful and everything else, and they live like the devil. They're not peaceful. If they were saved, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, because the Lord took their judgment on Himself on the tree and paid for it so they could go to heaven. But if they never received the Lord, they're the ones going to do the paying. And in hell, He lifted up His eyes, being in torments. There's coming a judgment. Now you go ahead and say whatever you want to, but I'd rather let Him pay it there on Calvary than me to have to stand before a holy God for what I've done. I want mercy. I don't want justice. And then last but not least, thank God I am saved. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. Listen to this. I know it's 5 after. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 1, 2 Corinthians, I'm sorry, chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. Real quick. But we have the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves. In other words, he's saying we know we're going to die. We know that's certain. We've accepted that we have that sentence of death in ourselves. He said, we don't trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead. That's who we trust in. Who delivered us. That's past. I got saved. He delivered me, Brother Billy, March the 5th, 1978, about 12:15 at Eastside Baptist Church on North Jones Avenue. Pastor Falkenberry preaching, the choir singing, the congregational singing, just as I am, without one plea, to 300 verse. That's why I fell. And I walked down that aisle, and that day I accepted Jesus as my replacement, my Savior, that He died and rose from the dead. And that day He delivered me from death, hell, and the grave. He set me free. I don't have to worry about that anymore. Certain I'm going to die, but I'm not being judged. He took my judgment on Him. Then look at it. Who delivered us from so great a death. That's past if you're saved. And doth deliver. That's present if you're saved. You know what? I'm sure I'm not the best Christian in this room. I'm sure of that. I'm sure. Listen, I'm sure I know it for a fact. I'm certain that every day I do not reach that mark. I am not God. I never get to be as good as God. I want to be. I strive to be. But I come short of that, His glory. Every day I come short of it. Now, I might not have robbed a bank and hadn't smoked any crack, but you know, in every way, even thoughts or words or deeds or what you didn't do, he that knoweth do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. Do you understand what I'm saying? Every day, every day. So you know what? I don't just need a dead Savior. I need a living Savior who is daily sitting on the right hand of the Father interceding for me. So he has. He's already done that. And now he doth. Every day. Every day he's delivering me from the sentence of death, hell, and the grave. Every day he's delivering me. He hath and he doth. I'm certain of this. And then look at the last part of that verse. And whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Now I'm certain March 5th, 1978, he delivered me from the penalty of death, hell, and the grave. I'm certain that right now while I'm living, he is delivering me. If I walk in the light as he's in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. He's delivering me. He's interceding for me every day. I'm certain of that. And I'm certain that one day, if you'll look at it, it says he will yet deliver us. I have no fear of hell because I'm promised heaven, and I am certain that I'll stand on those golden streets of glory because he's yet going to deliver me. You say, preacher, what if you let him down? He knows what I'm made of. He knew what I was made of before he ever saved me. He knew what I was made of before the world was ever formed. He's God. He knew that. He didn't look down here one day and say, whoop, Ron fell down. I can't have him no more. No, sir. He knew March 5th, 1978, I was going to fall down on that day, and he was going to lift me up. He will yet deliver us. You say, well, I used to be saved, but I ain't no more. Then he didn't deliver you? You're the only one he didn't. Preacher, I used to be going to heaven, but I'm not so sure now. Well, the uncertainty is in you. It's not in him. Some things I'm certain of. Certainty, a perfect knowledge that has total security from error or doubt. I'm certain. What about you? Are you saved? Are you certain? Are you in the will of God? You're living like you're supposed to, loving people like you ought to, loving your church, your family, your nation, everything like you ought to. Are you ready to cross over to the other side? Father, help us today. There might be one among us that knows you as our personal Savior, and I pray today.